Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge 30-30 Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 16. I am Brian Cohen. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I am great. I am finally with you from last week on, like, accepting that we've neared the end of the season. I didn't think it would come. I now feel it from this episode.
Yeah, we're on the precipice. This is it. It's next week. It's done. It's next week. It's the finale, I think. I'm pretty sure. I'm 99% sure.
Tyler,
maybe there's another redemption. You never know.
Tyler Morton Caribo wrote a question that cracked me up when I read it. If I asked you to remember July 18th, could you? Because that is when the premiere of this season, that was the premiere of the season. This one was a marathon, not a sprint. July 18th. It is now November 1st.
This is going to go almost from July 4th to Thanksgiving. That's insane.
It has taught me, though, because, like, I've always felt like when seasons of regular television, as opposed to reality television, when scripted series, you know, break for the Christmas, New Year, or they're only one season a year, two seasons a year, I'm like, why can't I watch this all the time? Now I understand there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. I've enjoyed every episode, but they have to have had viewers falling off this season. I mean somebody's going to correct me and send me the ratings, but, like, I just feel this has to have caused some people to forget about the season.
You would hope, and I'm worried. It's very rare, I think. Isn't it? I feel like it's rare for shows to, like, decrease the amount that they produce. So I'm worried that this might be the trend, but I'm hoping maybe next season goes back to, like, the normal 11-12 episodes that they're accustomed to doing.
I will come back to this ratings thing because I'm very interested in seeing this. But we have six people left. I can't believe it. We only have six people left. I keep checking the math. but we had to get there. So let's get in there.
Yeah. So we start off with, I totally forgot that we were doing this, like, private boat tour party. I totally forgot that was a thing, but we start off with that. And we find that Tori really, really, really wants to go to the Grand Canyon. Like, that's top one bucket list. That's what she wants to do.
Yeah. We got a funny question about that, but I didn't have it there. Oh, here it is. Mike Christensen, if you won your share of $1 million, what national park would you want to take your parents to?
I see. That's the thing. For me, maybe I'm weird. I don't think if I won $1 million, national parks should be at the top of my mind. But I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one.
I mean, is it better or worse than Darrell wanting to buy a camper with the money? Like, a lot of these people, unsurprisingly so, they're athletic, have outdoor aspirations. We maybe not so much.
Well, maybe they can do it together. Tori can take Darrell's camper and go to the Grand Canyon with her dad. It's all come together.
I do. I think it's sweet. I do. Like, Tori calls herself, like, she's celebrating. She's really proud to be here with some of the greatest competitors in challenge history. I think throughout this episode and throughout the season, Tori really has the appropriate amount of, like, reverence for the people around her and, like, not self-deprecating, but enough of, like, wow, this is really great, as opposed to, like, a Kayla who's, like, checking all the veterans and saying she doesn't have to prove anything and they have to prove themselves to her. So I think that's one of the reasons Tori is coming out of this so likable.
Yeah, she just, like, fits. Like, normally when you see people who are, like, the rookies that don't have much of a track record and they're in the final, it's like, oh, how did they get there? This is, like, weird seeing them with, like, CT and Kara. But for Tori, it's like, yeah, this is, after the first couple episodes, he was like, yeah, this is what we expect from her. And then she just, like, belongs with this group.
And can I just be petty for one moment? I know I so rarely am, so this will be a real change of pace.
This is rare. Let me put on my pettiness, like, readiness.
Yeah, so it's only funny when I make fun of myself, Brian. It's not fun when you jump on like you know me. Okay, so Jordan says, three or four of us have been to redemption. Like, he's reflecting on this. Can we just imagine the world where he doesn't make it or he doesn't need to go to redemption and what he's saying at the reunion about this? Like, can you imagine if he's in the Tory spot where he's the only one who hasn't been to redemption and back, what the confessionals would be like? Like, I'm the only one who deserves it. I'm the only one who didn't get eliminated.
I see. For me, I've never seen any MTV people be hypocritical and, like, only focus on what's going on for themselves. I've never seen that before, so I don't know what you are imagining.
Yeah, I think Jordan is pretty annoying. That's no surprise. But this scene particularly got to me because I was like, okay, let's just, like, in. There was a conversation a couple of thousands of weeks ago where the men were talking about people coming back from redemption and that being bullshit. So, okay, Jordan. But so that didn't surprise.
I believe it was called like the orphan house, right? Wasn't that what they called it, the orphan house?
And who is that gentleman who said that? I don't know. He hasn't been on the show in so long.
I believe it was John.
But so you don't buy. You're not surprised by that bit. Were you surprised that CT wants to see Tony come back over the field?
I don't think so, because I think he knows that Tony would be easiest to beat, right? I think, I mean, at this point, everyone's got to be scared of Derek. I mean, Derek's a monster, so why wouldn't he want to go up against Tony?
But over Hunter with the broken wrist, like, I was like, this is the burn of all burns. This episode really turns into, like, I don't have to say anything about Tony. We'll let the cast speak for me, because it just becomes a nightmare of burns against Tony, or a dream, depending on who you are. Mm-hmm. But for CT to say he wants to see Tony back over Hunter with a broken arm was like a real burn, unless they were just already negating Hunter's even having a prayer of coming back.
Yeah, or maybe just Hunter was just downplaying enough that they didn't really get a good sense of how limited he would be. And then, like, it was very clear at this challenge, like, he just can't do anything. Like, I mean, he didn't win, but he was, like, somewhat competitive in that last challenge. Like, I think didn't he at least get past, like, the box portion, so I think he was somewhat competitive, so they just thought maybe he could, like, time would heal it and he'd be tough.
I don't know. Did you see when they zoomed in on Hunter's fingers and he's saying he still can't see his fingers? Those are like zombie hands. Like, Hunter, if his wrist never heals, can get a job working a haunted house, like, where his just hand is coming out of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of injuries now piling up after the season. We got Hunter's hand, Jordan's leg, and Anissa's ankle. It's
Tony's reputation. But I not that that was really there to injure, but Jenna, this killed me. Jenna literally has nothing on the line. Like, Tony and Derek are talking about, like, they can't get this close and go home. They've been away from their families. They both have children. And Jenna's like, guys, you're being depressing. Like, Jenna literally does not matter to her if she wins or loses. It's like, well, that was fun. Well, I got more exposure. Well, vote for me and Max and Hot, whatever. No big deal.
Yeah. It was super depressing. Like, could you imagine being away from our kids and wanting to provide for our kids, and then we come back with just nothing? Like, that was getting, all right, well, let's take it back a little bit.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, you can relate to their experience. And I was like,
oh, no.
I'm currently wearing a baseball cap around today, so I am not an adult. It's fine.
You're rocking the dad look.
Yeah, a firm dad look. Yes. Yeah. So should we get to the challenge? Should we stretch this longer, just like MTV would? Or should we jump into snaking your way back in?
I mean, we could spend as much time on it as Kayla and Jenna spent competitively, which would be very little.
I would have liked to see a matchup between Hunter, Tony, Jenna, and Kayla, just for, like, worst. I would just like to watch them all just swing like children on a swing set.
They're still going. I think it's still going on. That's why the season went for so long. They're waiting for them to get down off the ropes.
That seems plausible.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Who are you more surprised by that, like, dominated, Camilla or Derek?
So it's so hard to see, right? Because what is the domination? Like, I'm on both of their sides. Once the voiceover of them talking said, like, I'm just worried if I fall, one of the others can win. Once they have to edit it where you're only competing against yourself, like, it's a complete runaway. And I don't know if it's because they dominated or their opponents just sucked. When I watched the first round with Derek, I was like, okay, Tony and Hunter, because of his wrist, just suck. When I watched the women, I was like, I was surprised that Jenna and Kayla couldn't be competent at this. So it kind of made Camilla's win look a little bit better. I have no idea. Is that an answer?
Yeah, for me, I was just so surprised at how poorly Kayla and Jenna did. I mean, they've been talking themselves off by these, like, big competitors. They've done well. It's not like that it was like a mirage that they would be in this spot, and then just to not even come close at something that, like, is like a perfectly good challenge competition. Like, it requires a lot of coordination, and it's up in the air. It's all those things that the challenge is, and just to be so bad at it, it's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, I agree. I think we had that same reaction. I like this challenge a lot, where they had to, like, you know, swing on the ropes and then had a swimming component, because It involves strategy. Like, you have to learn what works best. Strength, speed, endurance, motivation, no luck. Like, this was like, whoever won this, you can't like shame. Like, if Tony were to come out of this, I would have said this is the only challenge of the two or three he's won that really like exposed some ability, some physical ability. But so no, I can't take anything from Camilla and Derek here. I was also just shocked that Jenna and Kayla like had no competency in this.
What did you make of, I guess it was kind of just to be expected based on what was going in, but Cara just like so happy that Camilla won.
It's surprising at this point.
Not good.
I just like, it's crazy to me, maybe because they think that Jenna, it's not like there are any layups. Like, obviously you want Tony or Hunter to win over Derek, but Jenna is a formidable opponent. She's has finals experience, and Kayla, like, who knows? So like, it's not like there was a shitty person there that you would have wanted to win, but Camilla's probably the biggest threat of the three of them. So it's like, how far is your friendship going to take you? There are no more votes. You're not going to work in co-ed teams. You only have three women and three men. I mean, you're not going to work in same sex teams. So like, what would be right. The advantage of having Camilla run it with you, except that you look like an idiot for still liking her after what happened?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's like, you know, you would think with all like the hate, obviously she doesn't know the reaction is going to get, but in the show, this wasn't like the normal Camilla hate. Like, it's weird. She never tried to distance herself. And she even mentioned it in the confessional, like, oh, great. Now I have to go up against Camilla, who's like one of the toughest female competitors in like the show. It's like, yeah, this is what you wanted. So yeah, this is exactly what you're hoping for. So yes, you do. You have to go beat her.
Yeah, that was this the whole way that I think maybe because of the dirty nature of this season, it's really flipped sort of the priorities of who you want to be with. Like the fact that there are so many twists and turns, you can't predict how things are going to go, and you'd rather just like have allies in the house or even strong people that you can do the challenges with to win. It's really like taken a toll on the strategy of turning against stronger competitors that you might be friends with. For better or for worse. We have some questions about this. I will say for the men, it really kind of annoyed me. The editors are really trying to make a meal out of this, and it just like wasn't there. Like, Derek's at the end and Tony hasn't even transitioned. Like, good for Tony for getting like a little bit of steam, but like, once Derek's dropped in swimming, if you haven't hit that other color rope, like, there's nothing happening here. Like, the editor's trying to make this like it was close. It was insulting to me. Okay.
It was a wrap.
So let's eulogize Hunter and Tony here. Marcy Gablitz says, are you surprised they allowed Hunter to compete? Even for argument's sake, if he got across the bar, wouldn't that drop into the water have been dangerous to his already injured arm? Not to mention almost killing them all in the skydive.
Yeah, a little bit. I think definitely this was in the beginning of the season. He would have just been sent home, and then they would have had a replacement, or they would have had the rest of the season to adjust. I would think that they would not want to send someone home this close to a final. But again, they've done it before. They sent not injury related, but they sent Naya home like right at the final. So they have at least a precedent for sending someone home at the very end. But I guess I get it. I mean, they probably left it in Hunter's hands. He's always going to choose. Yeah, he's always going to choose just to be like the tough guy and compete. I get it from his perspective because it's a lot of money, but at the end of the day, they probably should have been the adults in the room and be like, no, Hunter, sorry, you have to just go.
See, I think I would agree with you if when we get to Jordan's injury that they don't want somebody leaving the final. But I don't see any reason why this was more preferable to production than sending him home, because it's almost like Jordan got this comment in like, all right, well, if I leave, I left like flaming out, crashing from a 20,000 foot skydive jump. Like, here, like, if Hunter left for an injury, Hunter's still a hero. I mean, whether or not you like him, right, he's like this beacon of hope in the season that things were kept interesting on the men's side rather than, and again, like, I know he's not that for everyone, but at least even if you don't like him, he made certain episodes more interesting than they would have been by being like the thorn you couldn't get rid of. And so I think he still goes out competing like hell against Leroy, bashing his wrist, wanting to compete, and gets ejected. Like, that to me is better than watching him dangle from these ropes in pain, unable to move at all. You know, like, that to me just was, it wasn't pathetic or anything, but it was sad to watch. And I think it would have been better for a show, from a show standpoint, to just have Tony and Derek be battling there and have sent Hunter home nobly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's totally fair. I think, you know, at the end of the day, they just want to, the hope maybe that if Hunter can like power through, it'd be like, it would create like a great moment for them. And for them, they probably don't really give a shit if he really, really injures his wrist again, because they don't care.
Why, so though? Because then he can't come back. Like, if he gets a permanent injury.
They're having people jump out of 20,000 feet skydiving with people who seem like have never taught skydiving before in their life. So I'd imagine they don't really care about someone's wrist.
I see. I disagree with that. Like, I think, like, the way that they've tried to protect Camilla to keep her on the show until what happened on the next season, like, they have, I don't think they necessarily, like, maybe they don't care about people for people's sake, but, like, they want Hunter back again. Like, I don't think they want to put him in a position where he permanently can't compete anymore.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but they also want to try to create a moment, and if Hunter is like powering through and is like this underdog with the broken wrist, like, that's a good story to even fake play up for an episode, knowing that it's just gonna end horribly.
See, that's true, but like, when you can look two steps ahead and see that this is the challenge, like, I don't know, like, I, maybe the idea was you wanted this moment of him trying and dangling and failing and feeling bad, but for me, watching that was just like, it didn't like really make him look great to me, but I'm insensitive.
Yeah. It leaves you wondering what if, which is like a good thing to have for someone who's probably going to come back.
All right, so let's talk about Tony. Tony really got wrecked by the men while he was in the challenge. CT said, like, he's 7 foot tall and can't move the rope. Like, they said he looks like a kid stuck in a swing set. He did not get a lot of respect from his quote-unquote friends in the house. He says about himself that he's been out of shape, he's been up and down, he's wanted to get to the final to right the ship. My question here is, did he think that if he like won the final challenge, it would like help explain the fact that he cheated on his wife to, or his baby mama to her? Like, when he's like, I want to get to the final to right the ship, like, is that like he could pay her off?
I'm sure in his mind he's thinking, if he shows up at the door of $450,000, that maybe like a drunken makeout with Camilla could be kind of written off. That's what he's hoping. Whether that's the thing, that's for them to figure out. But I mean, I think that has to be what his thought process was.
So yeah, no, that's funny. If anything, the like 16,000 episode season could only help Tony. That, like, I've forgotten about it until he was talking about, you know, writing the ship.
Yeah, I thought he did something writing the ship about like going against like the guys. I thought that's what he meant. So yeah, I totally forgot about his of all the things that Camilla's been involved with this season, him, her hooking up with Tony is like item number like 1,000.
So what's the future hold for Tony? Obviously, Tony will be back. That's no question. But how do we eulogize Tony this season?
I mean, honestly, I think this is probably the best competitive Tony that we're like ever going to see. He's not good at a lot of this stuff that he has to kind of snake his way through some of these more fluky things and kind of get his wins that way. And now it's like a question of if the question we were always asking is like with Bananas and Lyra, why weren't they so pissed at him for turning his back? Maybe if they rewatch the season, they go back, wait, Tony kind of screwed us over here. Maybe we shouldn't be so buddy buddy with him next season. And if that's the case, he's in real trouble. Because, like, the best asset he has is his, like, goofiness and friendliness and pleasant to be along with for these guys that they want to keep him along. And if he doesn't have that, then he's going to be out early.
I still think he'll be fine with them. Like, I really don't think he's going to face any repercussions for that because he is a guy who can, I think he's, like, better than the complete scrubs on the season. Like, he's better than Dario, or he's better than, like, the other people they may have on the season filling those lower level male roles, I think, and he just is like blindly loyal to the Bananas tribe. Like, maybe this exposes like a little more work you'll have to do with him to keep him loyal, but I think if the men on that season played him a little better, or like at that point, like it got to what, final eight, and like that's when you have to cut Tony. So if he's like having this counterinsurgency, can you really fault him that much for having it? So I think when this game restarts again, like Tony will be back in bed with Bananas.
I would lean that way also, but it's just interesting if it kind of comes up in conversation again next season, if Tony's in that kind of swing vote position if it's brought up. Like, oh, Tony, you went against us last time. You can't be going against us again.
Yeah, but don't you think we would have seen something like that, like, paved, like, the way paved for on this season? Like, I just feel like if the guys were saying anything about it, I know you're saying, like, they would have to watch it to see, but I don't really think you have to watch it to see this. Like, these people are not stupid. Like, these are some of the most strategic men in challenge history here, to give Bananas a shout out. And I don't think he needs to, like, see an episode of television to realize Tony not voting against Hunter and voting against Eric was a turn.
Yeah, but I also want to put it on MTV to, like, you're asking them to plot out season to season arcs. They don't even plot out in season arc. So I wouldn't expect that from them.
Not season to season. I just think if anyone was saying anything about it, it would have been shown. Like, we were desperate for something interesting this season. Like, there were some episodes where it was just, like, stretching nothing that happened out at the bar.
Right. I'm saying maybe it was said amongst each other after the season's even shown, like right now, before they go out for their next season.
Right, and I'm just saying I think that they don't need to watch the episode. Like, I understand what you're saying. I just think they don't have to watch the season to see this. But, hey, like, I've been waiting for that to pay off, so if it pays off in another season, that's a reason to watch it, despite that there are so many reasons in the Big Brother persuasion not to watch it. blah, blah, blah. So one thing to Camilla's credit, and this is the last thing I'll probably ever say to Camilla's credit in my life, Camilla is notoriously afraid of heights, and she did, like, a really good job not making that an issue here.
For the actual, like, for the challenge,
yeah.
Maybe they weren't as high up as it seemed, but yeah, normally she does forget. I think more she freaks out when it's like she's just, like, sitting there not doing anything, like with the trivia. I think that's, like, the hardest part about heights, if you're just, like, perched over something looking down. But if you're, like, having to move and do stuff, it maybe takes your mind off it.
See, I'm terrible with heights. I'm terrible with heights, and I'm, like, just get paralyzed. I could, like, stand there, but, like, it is hard to move for me as someone afraid of heights. But maybe, you know, to each their own. All I wrote here is I hate Camilla. We have to eulogize Kayla and Jenna, though. I was just too blinded by hatred. So what do we send them out with?
I left a little disappointed because, again, you know, if they just lost here, like, in a close battle, I would have been like, all right, whatever. You know, what's only one of these people could win, so it's not the worst thing in the world to lose out to, you know, Camilla, Kara, and who the hell's the other girl? Tori, and to go to the final. So, like, all right, whatever. But to be, like, this bad in this type of big moment, it was a little disappointing. But I am still optimistic for them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, no question again that these two will be back. J-Lo will rise again. It was disappointing. I think it's, like, hope. Let's say this. I would hope that this puts, like, a little bit of humility in Kayla's potion, but it won't. Like, I'm still so sick of Kayla running her mouth that she beats, like, shitty girls in eliminations and thinks that she runs the house, or, like, she ran shit at the shelter again against, like, newbies. So, like, she owns everything. She hooked up with Corey. Yeah. So, like, she's cool. Like, you sucked. You blew it. We're not going to forget this. It was pathetic. And I hope you come back hungry to prove yourself, like you told friggin' Veronica to. And Jenna, yeah, like, Jenna's, it was just really pathetic. It was kind of like what she was saying to the boys, like, oh, I'm depressed. Like, she doesn't really want this that badly. Like, I'd like to see Jenna with some hunger, with some fire for the challenges. And we were definitely left wanting more here.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not, that seems the more being the Kayla personality, like the desire to want to win. Jenna, as you mentioned before, is kind of just like happy-go-lucky along for the ride. I mean, she gets a little, I sort of cutthroat when she needs to be, but like it just doesn't seem like that killer nature is in her, for better or for worse.
True that. All right, so we have some questions. We're left with a final of Kara, Tori, and Camilla for the women, CT, Jordan, and Derek for the men. Katrin Stutz says, power rank the remaining competitors. Who are you surprised missed out on the finale? And to that end, you might want to just answer Joe McDowell's question. If you could substitute any one male and one female eliminated cast member with a finalist, who would it be? So let's start with the power rankings. That's a lot to unpack.
So for the, and so it's very, very close. Like, honestly, I think you can make a case you could stack these six in any order, and I wouldn't even, like, question it that much. For me, I'll go CT, Jordan, Derek, but it's, like, razor thin amongst the three. And I, like I said, I could see Derek winning this easily. For the girls, I'll go Cara, Camilla, Tori.
So I agree. I think Tori would be the biggest shock just because, like, where did she come from? Like, if she beats Camilla and Cara, that would be notable, like, to say the least. Whereas if Derek beat CT, okay, Derek beat CT, you know. I will say kudos to Tori here. I saw that she could, like, it's not shocking that she's in the final. I never imagined she'd be in the final with Cara and Camilla. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the way that things shook out, but kudos to her. I will say, unfortunately, I'm starting to buy into the Camilla wins. I think it'll be Camilla, Cara, Tori. And then I am also buying into the Jordan's knee injury. So, like, I'll say CT, Derek, and Jordan. But I really need CT and Jordan to come in first and second for this draft I have with Randy Neupel. Because, interestingly enough, he is in second place behind me by 5 points. He has Cara and Camilla, and I have CT and Jordan. And then we can't be beat by the other people of Derek and Tori. But that, come on, that's an interesting way for that to shake out. So I'm getting nervous with the injury.
Big finishes coming in the show and in the fantasy leagues. It's all over the place.
So despite that, I still think it'll be interesting, you know, draft or not. This is a really nice final six for us to have here. I'm excited for next week. TJ said it's six of the strongest players we've ever had. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I let out like a non-factual, non-research-based tweet that I said this is the best final that there's ever been. I think this is as stacked a six as they've ever had.
I agree. And this is where I really noticed that Tori has the right amount of sort of like disbelief and confidence ratio. Like, for any new people coming out, like, watch Tori this season. Cause she just kind of looks like stunned when he says it, but not scared. It'll be interesting. I skipped Joe's question. If you could substitute any one male or female eliminated cast member, whether or not that's a person who you were surprised missed out on the finale, who would it be?
I mean, the only things I would do is I would substitute Jordan's knee for a healthy knee and Camilla's personality before this season to now.
I would like to see Leroy in there. So, like, I would sub out Jordan for Leroy. I would have liked to see Leroy run the final this season. I'm not surprised he missed out. I'm just, you know, a little disappointed. I would sub out Camilla for any single female, including Marie, Ashley, Simone, Latoya, Brianna, Amanda, Nicole, Anissa, Jemmy, Veronica, literally anyone, for Camilla.
If you're remembering all these people that were on the show on the top of your head, that is amazing kudos, because I forgot half those people were on this season.
I'm wearing my memory baseball cap, obviously. My thinking cap.
Like, wait, so was Latoya actually on the season? That's not true, was she?
Yeah, she left in... with Amanda, Brianna in episode 5.
That was episode 5? Oh my God. So that was what, September? Jesus.
Obviously, I have Wikipedia open, just to be clear.
Okay.
All right. So
the payouts. I think that's like, to me, that's like the big, big headline story of this episode. If anything, this is what they should have been teasing as like the dirty move. Not the amount of money, is the fact that only like 15,000 for third, 35,000 for second, and then 450,000 for first.
Yeah, I think this is phenomenal. I didn't expect that they'd go this far, and I'm so, so happy they did. So this is pretty standard money for third place and second place.
Yeah, I think it's basically exactly what they normally do. I think maybe second place sometimes get like 50, but usually third place is 15 right on the nose. So yeah, this is amazing, and I hope this is what they do going forward. Although I guess they'll have a lot less money to dole out, but this is amazing that they're doing it this way for this.
Yeah, and I think Tori says it, like, it's like third and second place feels like losing when you have this much money on the line. But we get the voiceover from TJ reminding us you have to finish. Do you feel like that is going to loom over the episode, or do you think that's just a red herring?
I mean, the only person I would worry about is probably Jordan, if his knee just like completely just gives out. And if that's the case, I would hope they kind of cut him a break, considering they're the one that made him jump 20,000 feet onto a stone. So other than that, I can't see anyone else straight up quitting.
But if they're giving money, no, I agree. I don't think anyone will quit. But if they're giving money to him and he doesn't finish, why are they including you have to finish? You know, like, I don't, I think if he can't compete because he's medevaced, he's not getting paid.
Well, that'd be so brutal for him.
It'd be dirty.
It'd be dirty. It'd be the dirtiest of the dirty. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm hoping they just said that just as like a incentive if someone's like struggling with like the food or whatever. Cause I'm sure there'll be something along those lines, and it's like, oh, you gotta finish. But I think everyone will finish.
They better for my draft. So they're going to Argentina, but there's not enough money in the budget, considering they're giving $1 million, for TJ to allegedly fly a second time to Argentina, because he already went and set up all of the skydiving and the course development and the mazes and planted the rocks. Caitlin Ash says, so where the hell was DJ? They're going to give away $1 million in prize money, but they can't have the host show up for the final.
Just believe, you know, Santa Claus is in the North Pole. Pulling out the gifts. TJ went to Argentina to set up the entire race and do all the rocks and the videos and the and everything. Just to sit back and believe.
All right, so let's believe it. You think you're like fine with these video messages from TJ? Like, you're okay with him not being there?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of liked what you mentioned last week of them frantically trying to read a sign and sometimes misreading something and forgetting to do something, but I think it's funny.
Well, we do get the sign reading. Like, I don't think they're going to have a video like in the middle of the challenge, like of him explaining how to do the rocks and with your partners. But I think it's bullshit. Like, he should be there. It's very strange to have this like Chenbot video of TJ, a TJ bot. I don't like it. I think he should be there. What's going to happen at the end? He's not going to be there. It's going to be a video of him giving out $1 million.
Oh, that'll be the dirtiest twist of them all. TJ was with them the whole time.
Or is this going to be like in stages? Are they going to fly somebody somewhere else? Like, is it he's not in Argentina because it doesn't finish in Argentina? Like, what's happening? This is garbage. Come on.
I also don't get why are they so excited to go to Argentina? Like, they're just going there to do this final. It's not like they're sightseeing. Like, who cares where they are? They could be in freaking LA. What the hell's the difference?
I don't know. I feel like you're just excited when you get to leave, when you've been cooped up in a house, like with insane people and producers like telling you when you can like literally get up or sit down. That like anytime you get to leave, it's exciting.
I guess so. It was just a weird reaction. Like, oh my God, Argentina, this is so amazing. We're just going to go run like a 10-mile like swim and do all this other stuff. But it's Argentina, so it's great.
Maybe. Well, it's an adventure capital of the world where they have all these different terrains, you know, like they all knew that.
Of course. That's my one this one. I wish we had Jen in the final so she can point out that like Argentina's in like Asia or something like that.
My main disappointment besides TJ not showing up is the announcement that this is going to be time stages again. We complain about this every season. I think it's a real momentum stabber, but maybe I'll remain optimistic, question mark.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just in agreement with that, and that's just never going to change. I can't imagine at this point them going back to a race, mainly because the last time they did it, I think it was like Rivals 2, and it was like super boring because CT and West killed everyone. So I think this is kind of here to stay.
Do you think we will skydive again? Is that here to stay?
I think they should skydive even farther, even higher, and they should land on even sharper rocks. Make it as dangerous as possible.
I did a fact check here when Jordan was being a weenie and saying like, oh yeah, like they double the, like twice as high as they normally take you. He's not wrong. I did look. If they're actually jumping 20,000 feet, standard skydiving is 12,500 feet. So, shit.
I mean, the whole thing was just absurd. Like, first of all, they are I feel like you're supposed to land on softer ground. Aren't you supposed to be landing like pleasant grass, like grass or
pleasant
sand.
Grass.
Like they're landing on sharp rocks and stones. Like, what did they expect to happen? I'm surprised no one actually died. And Camilla and Cara, they may have landed in Brazil. Where did they come from to be have to be coming back on buses?
I'm just picturing like pleasant grass is grass that's like, good afternoon, man. Like, as you land on it. Yeah. Jordan Mark shares your feelings, Ryan. He says, did they even test the skydiving? It seems so dangerous considering CT and More so, Jordan hurt himself, and Cara and Camilla had to take a truck back to the others and landed in the middle of nowhere.
It's so absurd. Like, I don't understand how this was like a, like, what did this add to the final about other than Cara having an absolute meltdown, which was amazingly funny.
Yeah, I don't know. They've done stuff like this before where it doesn't really count for the challenge. I don't know. I thought this was like kind of cool, but the fact that they're doing something where there's such a high likelihood of injury that could ruin the show, because if Jordan stepped out of the challenge here, it would F up not only just like having two men run for the challenge, but it would have like an effect on the pairs for the women and just all of this stuff. So if somebody really got injured to the point where they had to be medevaced and could not compete, what do you think the solution would have been?
Tony makes the final. Tony's in, right? They're not going to put Hunter there. They're not going to replace one injured guy with another. So Tony, you would have been earning his stripes in the final.
Yeah, I think this is a time where they would have had to call in a sub. I'm glad that didn't happen, not just because of Tony, even if it was a healed Hunter. Like, I'm glad that didn't happen, because that would just feel like to watch someone get eliminated and then just walk on to the final would be, you know, a little bit upsetting.
They could have had a redemption part four and just bring back every single guy and have them compete for the chance in the final. And then, like, Darrell somehow makes the final, even though he was only in for half an episode.
That I would sign on for.
Yeah.
Do you see, am I crazy to see similarities between Jordan and Debbie from Survivor? Were you getting shades of Debbie when he's like, I have a company, I have a clothing line, I build motorcycles?
Well, him saying he builds clothes was one of the weirdest sentences I think I've ever heard from someone. But yeah, I mean, Jordan, doesn't he also act like that? Isn't that where he was? Wasn't he on like a soap opera for a while?
Maybe they edited out some of his jobs. Like, I think he also picked up shifts at Red Lobster. He did water purifying. Like, I think he's the Debbie of the challenge.
Sure. You can go with that. All he needs is a tiger stripe bathing suit.
Oh, sexy, can I? But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything from this. Like, everyone's injured. Everything sucks. He blah, blah, blah. Anything else here from the skydiving before we actually get to the challenge?
What did you make of Cara just absolutely having a meltdown, though? Like, that was unbelievable.
I completely agree. Like, WTF is wrong with these people who enjoy jumping from a plane with, as you said, somebody who seemed completely untrained and unqualified with probably no regulations. Who enjoys that? I was with her. I can't believe she even did it. I wouldn't have done it.
Well, then you would have walked there with no money.
So. I walk away with no money now.
I guess that's true. I was surprised. I figured, was she not on the season when they jumped out of the plane before? I guess not.
You know, I don't know that. Regardless, I think it's like, it's really more of, it's more than just regular skydiving. Like 20,000 feet, when you saw those views from the plane, like that was crazy. It's just like basically jumping into mountains.
But like, if the parachute doesn't open at 5,000 feet, you're still going to die.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So it's like you're dead or dead. Oh, extra dead.
Fair enough. Luckily, no one's dead. Although maybe that's what happened to TJ. I was like, I still can't get over TJ not being here for this. Like, was there another passport issue? Do you remember when that happened with CT this season? If you could get in your time.
That was
machine.
This season?
Yeah.
That's right. CT showed up late for the season.
I was like, maybe TJ's going to show up next episode. Like, sorry, I had a passport issue. I couldn't get into Argentina. Even though I was just there week prior.
That's amazing that the CT passport issue was crazy. So he not only like missed a couple weeks in the beginning because he was just late. Then he had like the redemption. And he came, like, wow, this has been a wild season.
All right, so we get to the first. I don't know. Were they calling it something? I wrote checkpoint, but that's just from.
I wrote stage.
Okay, I like stage. Let's do that.
Okay.
You want to talk about it, or are you just?
Sure. So you had to first run up, and I think it was donate a diamond as like a sacrifice, and then bring down 30 stones to like a rope.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the most interesting part of this stage is that at first when Derek read the sign, I thought it was the man who's finished first gets matched with the woman who finishes first as your partner. But what it actually turned out to be is that you get to pick your female partner. Or I guess it could have been if women finished first, you could pick. But the first person to finish of a gender gets to pick their partner and so on. Did you like this?
Yeah, that was. I like it if it continues. If it's like, all right, now you used up this partner and then next time you can pick someone, but it can't be that partner, then it's kind of just lame. Because then it's like, why not just like tell them this is what the whole process is? But if this is actually what they're going to be doing, where like it starts individual and then whoever's doing the best can pick the partner who they're finishing with it, I do kind of like that because it takes away a little bit of randomness from it.
Yeah, I would love that. And it really goes to like Kara say, although I'd like it to be where like the women are in a position where they could pick at times also. But I do like that because it really exemplifies how painful it was that Jordan said he wouldn't want to run with Kara. Because, you know, even if it's something Kara would excel at, he's not going to pick her for spite. But she's then like, is it ogling, oogling, ogling? She's oogling him, ogling, ogling. She's looking at him with lust, saying that he looks good as a good ogling. He's like, he's looking at him as a good partner. So that I think would add interest through this challenge. And you see that not everyone would want to work with the same partner. Although Tori, if you want people to still like you, do not start coming for CT.
Yeah, don't come at CT's dad vibe. This is the best CT. Don't try knocking him down a peg. Leave him up on his peg.
I'm sorry. Do you see anyone else putting up so many rocks? Like, Derek's carrying two rocks. CT's pulling four rocks. Get the hell out of here. Of course he's winded.
Yeah. Of course. He's got to change diapers. Tiring.
And it was a lot for him.
Well, so does Derek. Well, not really.
He has at one point.
Yes.
We assume. It was surprising to me to hear her say that because it wasn't like they were like lagging behind because of CT. Like they pulled ahead actually 24 to 21 rocks. And they were always in contention. It was never like he was a pathetic dead weight, Zach.
Yeah, this was as even as I thought this whole final would be. It seemed like everyone was like, you know, if they're back like a few stones, or just because they just hadn't finished their last trip yet. Like there was. I feel like the difference in this round is going to be under a minute or two for like everyone. Except, and it seemed like Jordan and what was it, Camilla out in the head because they think they found like the quickest route. So that'll probably give them the slight edge.
Yeah, exactly. Jana Morris Hebda says, I know this isn't the first season where this has happened, but do you think that for individual season, the finals should also be individual instead of having them randomly pair up for different legs? Or is the drama of the pairings worth it?
No, I like the pairings. I'm not even necessarily because of the drama. I just think being like a good challenge competitor is because you can work with other people and you can get the best out of them. And even if it's not something that they may excel at, you should be able to work with them to do as best as they can. So for me, I like them mixing and matching for these challenges.
That's a nice sentiment. Yeah, I agree. I think they will be moving towards like what happened in two challenges ago where there's a partner component and then the individual puzzle. Here there's this individual puzzle of like who can get up first with the crystal and then they pair up after. So I think they may work more advantages in from an individual standpoint, earns you picking a better partner or gives you this time. Like I think I like the combination better than in times where they've done, you know, three heats with three different partners or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if it's like a fifth or like half of it is doing it with partners and half of it is by yourself and like the last part of it is by yourself, I think that's a good way to do it.
I will say looking ahead next week, this like has it all. Food, breakdowns, mini double crosses, snow, fire. Like they're really not messing around here for $1 million. I didn't see any dragons, but
look closer.
I don't have a keen eye for dragons.
I'm curious what the double cross is going to be about, like how it's going to work.
I thought that mini double cross was so cute. I want to put it on a leash and just walk it around. It was like so adorable. That was not a pre-written line. I swear to God, that's just how I feel.
I believe the earnest of the walking. I believe it. It's just trying to picture you trying to like pull like a little stone double cross down the street is quite the funny image.
Speaking of funny images, there's no transition here. Jeremy Burris says, is Tori still with her, quote, boyfriend at this point of the season? She
That's
hasn't-
so funny. I'm just thinking that they are actually were a relationship.
That's where I was trying to get to, but thank you. You pulled me along like a double cross on a leash. She
there
hasn't-
you go. Boom.
She hasn't name dropped him in months. Tinfoil hat says you were right, and they just wanted to set up an Exes team.
To me, the most disturbing part of that is when he said, he said she hasn't name dropped him in months. Like, it's literally been months because it was 4 months ago when they were both on the show as boyfriend and girlfriend.
I am surprised there was no.
That was just the answer I thought of.
No, that's a great answer. I think there's. Please, anytime you could complain about how long the season is, it's a great answer by me. I am surprised that we never got the payoff. Like, there was this alleged cheating thing with Tori and I assume Jordan, but we never got it. And I don't know if that's because they didn't show it or it's the unlikely situation that it happens on the challenge, the final next week. But I think it's more likely that maybe she didn't cheat on him and but she just broke up with him when they got back for Jordan. I don't know. It's weird that this whole Derek Tory drama never got explained like they said on Instagram that it would.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Tory and Jordan win the final and then to win, they just hook up. And that's, oops, guess I cheated on him. We're done.
High drama.
Yep.
All right. Mike Christensen says, it was pretty jarring how much they're trying to hide Camilla in the edit. Pretty sure Tori got about 80% of the female confessionals. Not complaining because she's the only girl left that isn't terrible, but it's a weird way to view the final from basically only Tori's perspective, especially if she doesn't come out on top. Before you weigh in on that, Will from America jumped in to say that Tori got 16 confessionals this episode compared to Cara with 10 and Camilla with 2.
I mean, we've been seeing this for a while now that Camilla just is not being shown at all unless absolutely necessary. So for her to be even cut more in the final is not that surprising.
It is giving us like a harder to read edit, right? Because usually like you would think from this edit that Tori is going to be the winner of this. That would be amazing. I just can't believe it. I think it's more likely that like they just don't want to reward Camilla with being the narrator of the final here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're hoping to reward Camilla with anything. So this is what they're choosing to cut out.
Right, but I mean, if Camilla wins here, it makes a lot of sense that they're showing Tori so much. Where in a normal season, if Camilla won, it would make no sense. And usually you can sort of like read the winner by the edit. So if there's a bright side to this situation, right, it's that. Question mark?
Yep. I think that's fair.
Will from America also said, is it weird that none of the final six really have a clear season long arc that would have made you expect them to be at the end? Or is that the nature of a long season? This especially applies to the guys since halfway through the season, I'd be shocked seeing any of them except maybe CT here.
I mean, I would normally say like this is MTV, but I mean, I would say each of the guys, maybe not so Jordan, but Derek's had like good moments of like talking about he wants to provide for his kids. Same with CT. Like, it's not like them winning would be coming out of nowhere. So I think if of all like the winner edits MTV's ever done, like these would make somewhat sense.
So I think their alliance kind of got the arc, right? Like I'm surprised that Will is so surprised that these three men or the larger alliance of say six were here in some capacity. Like as we kept going through the season, like we made predictions, I wasn't sure which of the six men, like what configuration this final would fall in. But I agree with you. Like Derek's whole storyline was like proving he still got it. He beat Bananas, like his back was against the wall and he won his way out. I think Hunter's injury really put the wrench in the plan here because you have to tell the story with Hunter. But if Hunter hadn't been injured, I think there's a very good chance he would have been in this final.
Yep. Agreed. And then he would have had one of the best arcs of anyone. So
that's kind of tough for the women. They're not. I think Camilla throws the wrench there, right? Because they're not going to give Camilla this like hero storyline throughout when what happened. At best, all they can do is edit her out, not really make her look great.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, Kayla had like the most like kind of winner-esque edit about like, you know, I'm going to play dirty. I'm going to do whatever I have to. Everyone's against me, but I'm going to get to the final. And then boom, boom.
So Jeremy Barton wants to know our winner predictions. I think we said this here. You have CT and Kara, and I'll take Camilla and CT. Either way, I'm a winner, because if Camilla doesn't win, I win. Emotionally.
We're all winners. Dissipation trophies for all.
All right. Before we get to the tweeter, we have to thank some 5-star reviewers continuing to show up strong. Not everybody left comments. So I can't thank you. But we did get a nice little surge this week. Two people who left comments, iPhone1018 and Rai NorCal. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. If you want to, it's really one of their last two times to give us some feedback here at robhisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. But subscribe, because I'm sure we'll be back immediately after this season ends for another season of the challenge.
Or this one just is another, just continuing. There's redemption again. Everyone back.
That would be amazing if we go from season 30 to 31 just through a redemption challenge.
Yep.
All right. So I'm just pulling up some Twitter drama from our fearless digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth. Really, really appreciate it. So she sent us an email before the episode even aired again this week, because there was just some early drama. Tori and Brittany got into a little smackdown this week. Did you see this?
I grabbed my popcorn. I saw some of it.
So, I don't exactly. So Tori wrote, if you're loyal to everyone, you're loyal to no one. And Tori had been kind of like subtweeting Brittany, and somebody took screen grabs of it and sent it to Brittany. Brittany wrote, she blocked me, but she still consistently talks shit about me. Chin scratch emoji. Damn girl. At least be upfront. Why block Punani much? And Tori wrote at Brittany Nicole, hey, I unblocked you so you can see my tweets like you want to, but I still don't like you. Good luck with life. And Brittany, which is maybe the most cutting thing you could say in this situation, replies, good girl, period. And Ammo responded, lol, pulls out blunt and gets back to talking about world peace. Okay. And then Tori wrote, all right, now I'm mad I even entertained this Twitter drama, lol. I'm gonna go read a book and be a human later. Okay.
I feel like that's almost not being a human, is reading a book nowadays.
Whoa, burn to humanity.
Yeah.
So Derek said, just want to say thank you to all of you that rode this season out with me, left kind words and backed me up. I appreciate it. Gonna go try and win this effer. Tori wrote, shout out to my sister for her support. That 10-minute phone call once a week during filming saved my life. So that gives us a little color on how often they're able to talk to their family once a week, 10 minutes. Yeah. Thank you, Tori. Jenna says, still wouldn't have changed anything. Congrats to the finalists. My day will come soon. Hashtag Team Jayla. Laugh cry emoji, facepalm emoji. Again, like, I'm kind of not into this, like, I don't really care attitude from Jenna. I'm not surprised.
Like, yeah, yeah. Show me some fire. Show me some competitive spirit.
Jenna said, sorry, guys. I did try. I never give up, but couldn't get it done. Slant emoticon. Didn't give up. We burned out. It was hard. Props to Camilla, though. No. Oh, God. Facepalm emoji. We tried. Could not get the hang of it. Not feeling this challenge. Facepalm emoji. So that was like 10 tweets saying the same thing. Jordan said, and maybe you can help us out here. He said, took an hour to get my legs back. Okay. Then he said, same tibial fracture that put at Dez Bryant out for 8 games. Sometimes it just depends on how bad you want it. So is he like shitting on this professional football player?
I think he's trying to more build himself up. I mean, is it confirmed that he actually did break his leg?
He says that he fractured it. This is him saying it. Was he putting x-rays out? I don't know.
I mean, good for him. It's very impressive.
He wrote, now I'm just going to it, that, now I've eaten a lot of shit in my day, but that effing sucked. Legit thought I'd broken both my legs. Took an hour to get my legs back. And that's when he said he had the same fracture as the football player who put him out for 8 games. Sometimes it depends how bad you want it. That to me is saying that the football player didn't want it.
I guess so. Maybe he's a Giant. Is Jordan a Giant fan? Pulling out Cortez? I don't know.
I don't know. Des Bryant is invited onto the podcast to retort if he wants to. So Des far, Bryant, he's not responded.
He'll be on Challenge Pros versus Joe's season 53 in a few years.
So, yeah, that's it from Twitter. But if you will entertain me for a moment, a friend of mine from the real world, New Jersey, not actually the real world, just the real world is in my real life.
Oh, I thought there's another real world that's in New Jersey? No. What is happening?
No. My real world, Michelle, who also listens to the podcast, Facebook messaged me an idea that I think is an interesting one for a new format of the challenge. And it may be more suited for like a challenge think tank, but you know we're never going to do that. So I figured I would just slip it in here if you will oblige.
Go for it.
All right. So she said that she's proposing the challenge love triangles or something to that effect, where people have to compete on teams in love triangles or love quads, kind of like Battle of the Season and exes combined, but extra drama to see which ex they like better. So a team, proposed teams could be Zach, Jenna, John A, and Jay, even though he sucks, Michelle says, or Bruno, even though he sucks too. And Corey could have plenty of I'm just brainstorming now, like Corey, Kayla, Anissa, and
Corey could have a whole season of girls just for with him. Yeah.
No, but like who's the monkey boy again? From Kayla's season that she hooked up with, you know, the Tarzan fellow.
Oh, Dion.
Yeah, Dion. Like, wouldn't you like to see Anissa?
Where are we going with
Anissa, Dion, Kayla, and Corey? And then she said, from Are You the One? Like, she goes, Are You the One is a giant orgy, so you can make many teams with that crew. Tori, Derek, Jordan, and Laurel. Like, I'm in on this.
I'm in on it too, and I'm pretty sure when I used to like write my blog that I came up with this idea about a few years ago, and I'm trying to look it up. It's a great idea, and I think I came up with it.
Well, you didn't bring it to the podcast, so full credit to Michelle. You didn't bring it to my attention. Well, you left that one
Michelle's
on the bus.
Maybe Michelle's an old blog reader of mine and is trying to swoop my ideas, and I will not have it.
That's unlikely, Brian, but keep driving the bus.
You never know. Hopefully this typing is not coming up on the podcast because I'm trying to type in the Google.
All right, I have nothing else. We can wait for you to look this up to validate yourself. I will do the Twitter plugs. You can follow Brian at @CohenBrian_. You can follow
it's
me.
Not gonna happen. I'll look it up for next week.
Okay, you can follow me at @LashTweets. I'm gonna try to look up the ratings. Brian's gonna try to vindicate that this was his idea. Let us know what you think about this idea and the podcast. Two short weeks remain.
Yep. Unless the reunion's like a housewife style and it's three parts. So you never know.
Oh, wow. Let's not even talk about that. They never talk about anything at the reunion. They definitely couldn't do three parts. At least the housewives really get into it.
That's true. That's very true. Maybe TJ will be on Skype for that, too.
Yeah, the challenge could learn a lot from the housewives reunions. I'll tell you that much.
Bring in Andy Cohen to host the challenge. Boom.
Oh, speaking of the housewives, you could also follow me on the TV party at Ally Lasher. But that's officially all I have now this week.
That is it. We'll be back next week for the most glorious words I think I've ever said. The finale. Until then, have a good one.